The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. And welcome to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101. To get on board right now, send us an email. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. Host of the Spirit of Faith, Pastor John Ward.
Praise the Lord, everybody. God is good and Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And I'm so glad to be with you all tonight. God is good. Shout out on Facebook to my mom, Judy, Sister Wendy, Brother Todd, and people are logging in right now. Give me a like, give me a share, and give me a hello. Praise God. Good evening, Joan. Amen. Susanna, good evening. Gilda Garfield, good evening. And I'm sure you're getting lots of clicks on your end for the radio, Gary.
Yes, I am.
Praise God. We had a record attendance again last Sunday. I mean, I could say that almost every week, Gary. It's so encouraging.
Yep.
That so many people are tuning in and logging in every single week, and they're being fed and encouraged by the radio show. And to God be all the glory. I was just looking from last week, again, a record number of people listening just on the radio, not even including Facebook. Between the radio and Facebook, we're over 10,000 now every week.
Oh, that's amazing.
And it's so encouraging. Last week, we had people listening in from Denmark, Germany, Israel, Japan, Mexico, Poland, Switzerland, the United States, and our number one listener by quite a margin is Canada. Praise God.
Pretty
I'm going to be driving through Canada in a couple of weeks.
Oh, that's fantastic. Pretty soon we're going to have to be bilingual in several languages.
Well, I speak tongues and English.
Okay. But just,
and I speak Canadian too, eh?
Hey, right.
You heard that they dropped the arrive can as of the 30th of September.
Yes, I did.
So no more arrive can. People that are not vaccinated can travel. That don't have the COVID mRNA shot, because really it's not a vaccine. Vaccines prevent disease. This shot doesn't prevent disease. I'm sorry if that offends somebody, but it's the reality. It doesn't stop disease. It mitigates symptoms. And they kept people from being able to go to Canada because people did not have this mitigating shot. But now you can travel. I think Canada, Gary, is the last country to drop that mandate.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So interesting. But I'm going to Buffalo, and it's about 2 hours shorter from Detroit to drive through Canada.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. My son's got a hockey tournament, praise the Lord. And so I'll probably be doing the radio show. I don't know if I'll be back or not in time. I may have to do it from there, but God is good. Anyway, I'm so glad that you all are with us tonight. Love to have you get on board. Email me right now, instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. Love to hear from you. And if you have a Bible question, a praise report, a testimony, I'd like to know what's on your heart. What do you want to know from a biblical perspective of what you're dealing with or a question that may have arisen? Email me instudio101@gmail.com. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get right into the word tonight. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful and thankful for your love, for your faithfulness, for your mercy, your goodness, your kindness. Lord, you are so good, and you are everywhere at all times. But your word tells us in Psalms 46 that you are a very present help in the time of trouble. So I pray for my listening audience, every person who may be going through a test or a trial. Maybe it's a sickness, maybe it's a divorce, maybe it's a financial struggle. Those that are in Florida and those that are in the South that are dealing with the issues from Hurricane Ian. Father, we pray right now for each and every person that they would receive hope and strength and encouragement and provision and everything that they need, that whatever they're going through, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, that they would call upon you, Lord, one way or another, so that you can help them. Because we know, Lord, it's your desire to help them. And so we thank you for it. We believe that we receive that help is on the way from you to Florida and every other person dealing with the remnants of Hurricane Ian, those in the Caribbean, those that got just hit so hard by this Category 4 hurricane. We thank you for it. We also ask a blessing upon all of our audience tonight. Take us in the direction you would have us to go. And we covenant with you in advance to give you and you alone all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody in agreement said amen.
Amen.
Praise God. All right, let's go to our, we got emails coming in already, Gary. And I had one come in yesterday as well. So email me right now in studio101@gmail.com. And let's go to our scripture, which is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. And it says, we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak. And that is how faith works. Faith is born in your spirit by a word from God. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by a word from God. That word in the Greek is rhema, R-H-E-M-A, rhema. The rhema word is the spoken word, the enlightened word, the word that is like a light bulb that just went off. I think we were talking about that last week, Gary, about how sometimes we got into a situation and we said afterwards, man, I knew I shouldn't have done that.
Yep.
And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And many times as Christians, we are dull of hearing. We're not hearing clearly from the Lord. And faith comes by hearing. I've said often that when God drops a word in your spirit or a scripture in your spirit, it's not so that you can just say, I heard from God, or God told me this, or God told me that. No, the reason he's dropping it in there is because he's trying to reveal something to you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14 and John chapter 16 in the Gospels, he said that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide us into all truth. Now, the word truth, we find that also in John 17, verse 17. Jesus prayed to the Father, and he said, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word, logos, is truth. So the written word of God, the Bible, is the logos. But when that word is enlightened, when that word is revealed, when that word becomes a light bulb shooting off on the inside of you, that's rhema. And faith doesn't come from logos. faith comes from rhema. Praise God. That's why we have to be sensitive and listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying, because he has a word of deliverance. He has a word for breakthrough. He has a word for overcoming. He has a word for conquering. He has a new song that he'll even put in your heart. Praise unto our God, that many will hear it and come to fear God and know God. And that's what it's all about. That's why we are still here, because he doesn't want anyone to go to hell. God doesn't want anyone to miss the mark, but he gives us choices. And that's something that is so important to realize. Praise the Lord. I was talking with someone recently whose family member died of years of drug addiction. And, you know, do you remember when Whitney Houston died, Gary?
Yes.
And they said about Whitney Houston that she just couldn't overcome the demons.
Yes.
And, you know, people kind of say that as, you know, something that, you know, they say because they heard others say it, but they don't really understand the reality of the work of demons. And drugs and alcohol, you know, what, when you see a bar many times, how is that bar advertised? Food and...
And, well, food and booze.
Spirits.
Oh, spirits, yeah.
That's okay. Right. Uh-huh. So spirits are referring to demon spirits. And you've been around people that were drinking, Gary.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, depending on what they're drinking, which really is true, but people who are drinking like, you know, whiskey and things like that, they tend to have a short temper.
Yes.
They tend to get violent and angry. And again, they're drinking spirits, as what the world calls it. But this alcohol, it lowers their inhibitions. It lowers their ability to resist things that they may not do if they were sober. And now that they're drunk, they just yield to this stuff. Well, we have to realize that there are spirits behind it. And this is how demons operate. And demons are looking for someone that they can work through. And the way that they do that is through these thoughts. And so this person who was telling me about the family member who died of years of drug addiction, he didn't overdose. This person just made, you know, wore his body down through years and years of drug abuse. And the every single one of us have choices that we can make, and choices to do drugs or choices to not do drugs. Well, you know, obviously doing drugs is part of these spirits, part of these demons. The scripture talks about the word in the King James, the word witchcraft. And witchcraft is the Greek word pharmakia. What does that sound like, Gary? Pharmakia.
Something to do with pharmaceuticals.
Exactly. It has to do with drug addiction. And when you look into it, this word has to do with mind-altering drugs. And mind-altering drugs have been around for thousands of years, whether it's peyote or some type of substance that causes people to hallucinate. And, you know, today you could walk in anywhere here in Canada or in the U.S. and get mind-altering drugs, THC, marijuana, mushrooms are now becoming legal in the United States. I don't know if they're legal in Canada or not, but all these different drugs. And of course, coming across the border just at an absolute, it's a pandemic, is fentanyl. And the amount of drugs that are coming across our southern border is just an absolute catastrophic pandemic. Of course, you know, we say that a pandemic is sickness or disease, but, you know, drug addiction is considered to be a disease. Alcoholism is considered to be a disease. And now this disease drug is coming across and people are taking the drug and becoming diseased. They're becoming plagued by drug addiction. It's happening to tons of young people. Have you actually seen the pills, Gary, that have come across in Skittles containers?
No, I haven't.
They're coming across in Skittles packages, and they look like Skittles. They look like little Skittles or M&Ms, all the different colors and everything. And here we are right before another demonic holiday, Halloween, where they'll be giving all of these out. And, you know, I don't know if you know the numbers, Gary, but over 300 people are overdosing every single day from fentanyl.
No, I didn't know that.
Every day. And most of them are young people, young adults, and much, much younger. It's just an absolute crisis, and very little is being done about it. The border's wide open, and all these are coming across. These are all signs of the times, praise God. And the only way that people are going to be able to overcome is faith in God. And, you know, a lot of people, like this particular person I mentioned, he dealt with this for decades of drug addiction. And finally, his body died because of drug addiction. And that is not God's will. God's will is that we have life and have it more abundantly. And that life is only through Jesus. I was dealing with another situation recently where this person is dealing with symptoms in their body, but cannot figure out where it's coming from. Terrible pain and other symptoms going on, and can't figure out where it's coming from. And yet is questioning God in this whole thing, that why is God allowing this? Why is God allowing the situation in my life? And so many times people are really ignorant about God's will. Here's an example of God's will found in 3 John verse 2. And it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." God's will is that we prosper and that we be in health. Now, of course, prosperity has to do with financial prosperity, but financial prosperity is only one level of prosperity. God wants us to prosper in every area of our life, in relationships. Listen, if you can't, if you're having struggles in your marriage and your marriage is falling apart, you're not prospering. If you're having problems at work and with your job and with the people on your job, you're not prospering. If you're having trouble and your car is broken down, you're not prospering. If you're having all these situations, God, his desire is that we prosper in every area. Now, I'm not saying that as a Christian, you're not going to go through trials. Psalms 34 says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us from them all." What I'm saying is that when you've got peace in your heart, peace in your mind, joy in your heart, joy that is over and larger than the trials that you're dealing with, then you're prosperous right in the middle of the trial. Man, Paul dealt with more trials and tests than anybody in the Bible, and I believe anybody ever. David dealt with trial after trial after trial, but yet Paul prospered in the midst of that, even though he was dealing with great affliction and persecution. You can have prosperity on the inside, even when you've got trials on the outside. Come on, somebody. Listen, God does not want us to be dictated by our circumstances. He wants us to dictate our circumstances by using our authority. And so this particular individual is dealing with all these symptoms coming on their body, seeking the doctors for help, and that's okay, but at the same time, questioning God's veracity, questioning whether, why, here's what this person said, why is God allowing this? And that's really an attitude of someone who doesn't know the scriptures. God has given us the right to do anything we want, to prosper or to be so desperate that we go to hell if we choose to go to hell. And yet he's also given us authority over the enemy. Luke 10 verse 19 says, "Behold, I give unto you authority, power. The word power there is exousia, to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm you. We have been given power over the devil. But here's what we got to understand. God is not going to do it for us. You say, well, what do you mean? I don't have the power to do it. Well, it's not all you, but it's also not all God. 1 John chapter 5 says that greater is he who is in us than he, actually chapter 3, greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. The greater one is on the inside, and God's power will manifest, but it takes our faith in order to see God move in our lives. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. But he that believes in God and believes that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him will see the power of God. It's us believing God, trusting God, speaking the word of God, and then God shows up and the power moves. I've seen it time and time and time and time again. When I step out on his word, he's always right there. Don't you remember when Jesus was walking on the water and Peter saw him and Peter said, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. And Jesus said, come. And Peter stepped out on the water and he walked on water. That was absolutely impossible. Was that all God? No, Peter had to step out on the water. Was it all Peter? No, Peter couldn't hold himself up on the water. The power of God did that. But you see how it was Peter hearing the word and then receiving the word, and then believing the word, and then speaking the word, and then acting on the word. And when he did, and he activated the five elements of faith, he walked on the water. Praise the Lord. By the way, if you don't have that book yet, Five Elements of Faith, you need to get it. Go to wordoffaith.cc, wordoffaith.cc/e-store, and you can get that book from Bishop Butler. You can download it tonight and listen to it. Praise God. Now, somebody just asked me, our website for Spirit of Faith is spiritoffaithradio.com, spiritoffaithradio.com. Now, we're just slightly behind on our archives, so we'll get caught up this week. So you can go back and listen to other messages, but we will get caught up for the most recent messages and get those uploaded to our website real soon. Once again, that's spiritoffaithradio.com. But this is many times why people perish, why people suffer. The scripture tells us that my people are destroyed for a lack of, can you fill in the blank, Gary?
For lack of faith.
Lack of knowledge.
Knowledge, okay.
But remember that faith comes from hearing. It takes knowledge in order to hear from God. And so he said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And there are so many in the body of Christ that are ignorant concerning God's will and concerning God's plan for our life. You know, a lot of people, Gary, think that the kingdom of God is magic and that they just say a prayer and then it magically is answered. But that's not how the kingdom of God works. Mark chapter 4 says the sower sows the word. And it talks about the process of how the kingdom of God works. He goes on in Mark chapter 4 to say the kingdom of God is like a man who sows seed into his field, and he sleeps night and day, and it grows up. He doesn't know how, but it grows up. And when it comes to full fruition or harvest, he puts in the sickle and he reaps the harvest. The kingdom of God works seed, time, and harvest. Genesis 8:22, as long as the earth remains, so shall seed time and harvest time. It takes seed and then harvest, praise God, and that word begins to grow up. Now, when we talk about the authority of the believer, we again have to realize that he has given us everything that we need that pertains unto life and godliness. He's given us everything we need to overcome. He's given us the name of Jesus. That word name in the Greek, which is very similar in the definition from the Hebrew, the Greek word is onoma. Unama means authority and character. He's given us his authority and his character. He's given us his name. And Philippians tells us that his name, chapter 2, is above every other name. So let's translate that. His authority is above every other authority. What would be an authority that we deal with? Pain, disease of any sort, sickness of any sort. These are all names. Lupus is a name. Cancer is a name. I even hear Christians, Gary, say, the doctor is saying that I have the C word.
Yeah.
Now, why would someone say the C word?
They don't want to admit it that it's cancer.
Yeah, they're afraid to say the word cancer. And you cannot operate in faith and operate in fear at the same time, because fear contaminates your faith. When someone is operating in fear, fear is the acronym false, evidence appearing real. And when someone is operating in fear, they're going by what they see and what they feel and what their old way of thinking is telling them. In other words, they're afraid that something is going to harm them. And the mother of all fears is harm them to the point of killing them. And here's the deal. Christians need mind renewal. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing, the renovation of your mind. Why? So that you can prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. As long as you're in that old way of thinking, you are resisting God's way in your life. The Bible says the carnal, natural mind is enmity with God. It's contrary to the way of God. It can't work with God. So that's why we have to change how we think so that we can operate in how God thinks and receive his power in our lives. Corinthians tells us that we have the mind of Christ, but we have to put on that new man. We have to put on that man that is renewed and renovated in the word of God so that we can walk in God's ways and receive God's ways. Many times Christians only think three-dimensional. They only think, well, I have a pain, for example, so I'm going to go to the doctor. The doctor says, well, the pain's in this area, so we'll do an ultrasound. We'll do a CAT scan. We'll do an MRI. We'll try this pill. We'll try that pill. And I think many times, Gary, people have not even taken the time to pray.
Yeah, unless they're scared, real scared.
Unless they're scared. And even if they're scared, a lot of times they run to the doctor instead of running to God. That was the problem that God had with King Hezekiah. The Bible says that when King Hezekiah was sick, that he sought the physicians, but not the Lord. And that was the problem that God had. Because you cannot have more than one God in your life. And if you lift up physicians to the point of being God, or you lift up your money as the point of being God, then you have now put the Lord out and you put these other things in front. And God said, I am a jealous God and I will have no other gods before me. God doesn't have a problem with the doctor. He created them. God doesn't have a problem with money. He created it. All the money belongs to God at the end of the day. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The cattle on 1,000 hills, all the gold, all the silver, it's his, praise God. It's just on loan to man right now as stewards, but it all belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's. And yet what happens sometimes is because demons, spirits, put these thoughts in people's head and people begin to seek after things that are contrary to the word of God. That's why I cannot emphasize more or enough the importance, the absolute necessity of renewing our minds to the word of God. Because when you renew your mind to the word, then we begin to think like God. We begin to think his thoughts. You know, many times people have misquoted Isaiah chapter 40, where he says that my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts, for my ways are higher than your thoughts and my ways are higher than your ways. But they forget about the beginning of that passage. And the beginning of that passage says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, for my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Whose thoughts? The wicked man. See, God's not calling us wicked. We're the sons of the Most High God. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, he who knew no sin was made to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. When Christ comes into your heart, you become the righteousness of God. You're no longer unrighteous. You're no longer the wicked. You're no longer someone who doesn't know God. But now, Romans chapter 5, through faith, we have been brought toward God. We have been received by God. We've been reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus, through faith in his name, through faith in his blood. We have now been reconciled. And yet so many times Christians are living in a three-dimensional place. They're living on a very low level based on what they see. That's three-dimensional. God has not called us to live by what we see. He says four times in the scripture, one in Malachi and three times in the New Testament, that the just shall live by faith, which means when you're living by faith, you're living by the word of God. Matthew chapter 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Listen, we've got to change how we live. We got to change how we think. If you're truly a Christian, now you're the only one that knows. And I encourage you right now to say it. If you're truly a Christian, say, I am a Christian. And if you are truly a Christian, that means that you are going to walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. If you are truly a Christian, then you are going to live by faith. You're going to live by the word of God. Every word that proceeds out of his mouth, that's where faith comes from. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word out of his mouth. From God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, quickening those words, guiding you into all truth. Praise God. But it takes someone who is willing to turn off what you see, turn off what you feel, and say, God, I believe you. God, I believe your word. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Your word is a light unto my path. Psalms 119, I trust you no matter what. I trust you. My eyes are upon you. My trust is in you. And listen, there are times when it's a real struggle. There are times when it's a real fight. There are times when everything on the inside of you wants to quit. Everything on the inside of you wants to pull the sheet over your head. But you got to remember that everything in this life is temporary. Everything in this life is only short term. We are passing through. If you live to be 120 years old, that's a spit in the bucket compared to eternity. And eternity is a huge bucket. It's so big that you cannot see the end of it. And so right now you're concerned about how you feel, concerned about what you're dealing with, concerned about how it looks. Man, quit being selfish. Get your eyes off of you. Get your eyes off of what you're dealing with and lift up your eyes from whence cometh your help. Get your eyes back on Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and say, Lord, I'm going to stop feeling sorry for myself. I'm going to stop having a pity party. I'm going to stop thinking about me, myself, and I, the unholy Trinity, me, myself, and I. And I'm going to start thinking about other people. Lord, who do you want me to pray for? Who do you want me to bless? You say, I can't bless anybody. I'm on welfare. I can't even tithe. No, you can do all things through Christ. Quit telling me what you can't do and begin to say God's word over your life. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It takes a man or a woman of faith to begin to speak God's word, to stop thinking about yourself, stop talking about your situation. Man, I hear people all the time talking about me, talking about my trouble, talking about my situation. The problem is that you are focused on you and you need to focus on Jesus. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. If you will keep your mind stayed upon him, the Bible tells us in the Old Testament, then he will keep you in perfect peace. Shalom, shalom, wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken. But Satan wants you to just feel sorry for yourself, have a pity party. Listen, one of the most dangerous things that we can do as Christians is feel sorry for ourselves. God has been too good to you. God has been too gracious to you. God has been too wonderful to you. And Satan wants you to sit around and feel sorry for yourself. That is absolutely demonic. And all it will do is take you down into a pit. But if you want to come out of the pit, you got to start counting your blessings. Start counting your blessings. You are alive. You are 6 feet above. You have the mind of Christ. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God has been good to you. Man, I'm telling you, the people that stay stuck are the people that just focus on themselves. But if you're going to come out of that, you got to say, God, who can I help? Who can I bless? Who would you send me to? What random act of kindness can I do today? You say, well, I don't have any money. Well, you could go smile at somebody. You could go encourage somebody. You could go help somebody in some fashion, and the Holy Spirit will show you how to do it. And then when you get that seed in the ground of being good and helping other people, you then have a harvest coming back to you. When you take your time, you know, one of the most precious commodities we have is not money. The most precious commodity we have that you're never going to get back is time. And if you'll take the time to pray and the time to seek the Lord and say, Lord, who would you have me take time to sow into, to encourage, to bless, to help, to do something for them? Then you will see that time that you take as a seed and you sow it, God will bring it back to you as a harvest. Mark chapter 4, some 30, 60, and 100 fold harvest on that time. And God will bless you and increase you when you get your mind off yourself, get your mind on other people, and begin to help other people. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to get to your questions and your emails tonight. You can email me right now in studio101@gmail.com. That's in studio101@gmail.com. And check out our website, spiritoffaithradio.com. That's spiritoffaithradio.com. Let's go to our first email. Actually, it came in yesterday. It's from Cody. Cody says, prayers for the holiday up here in Canada today, National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. Was that a big deal in Canada, Gary?
I didn't see it as such, but I know a lot of people were happy because they got off from work.
Oh, so it was a statutory holiday?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Since last year.
Okay,
yeah, I believe it started last year.
National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. Oh, that had to do with the indigenous people,
that's
right?
That's correct.
Okay, that's right. I do remember that. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Cody. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Hope you had a good day off, too. Praise God. Another email here tonight from our friend Don. Don says, hello, Pastor. Maybe inappropriate, but the truth here in Canada, disgusting. Remember when crazy people were put into mental institutions? Today, these crazy people are teaching shop class in Oakville. Yeah, the fact that they got away with this for so long, it's just disgusting. This picture of this man with these boobs on his chest and huge nipples, just terrible. And influencing kids that actually some of them were fighting for him. Terrible, absolutely terrible. And the school board, for lack of a better phrase, should absolutely be ashamed of themselves. Terrible. And certainly we need to pray against it in the name of Jesus. And it is disgusting, Don. Thank you for writing in tonight. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Bob. Bob says, Pastor, when God made us, he knew that we were all going to fall into sin. So why did he make us? What was his motive? Thanks. So first of all, his motive was to have somebody that he could fellowship with, someone who was in the same class as God. Remember that we're not created like the angels. We are born from God. Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And so us refers to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And then let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, so on and so forth on the earth. So God made Adam the God of this world. And he did it so that he could have someone that was his son and someone that was like him and someone that could fellowship with him. And if you remember in Genesis chapter 2, it says that God came in the cool of the afternoon and walked with Adam and fellowshipped with Adam. So he created man for fellowship. And every indication is that there were other creations that he made before Adam. And when he made Adam, of course, God knew that Adam would fall, but he gave Adam a choice, just like he gives all of us a choice. And so he knew he would fall into sin, but we also see that God had already prepared a way for Adam to escape and for Adam to get back into the family. And what did he do? He, first thing that he did is he made coats of skins and wrapped them in these coats of skins. Well, he was making blood covenant with Adam, and he was saying to Adam that your seed is going to bruise the head of Satan, of the enemy. And that's exactly what the seed of Adam did. And the seed of Adam was Jesus. And Jesus defeated the enemy. Why did God allow this to happen? Because God had to give man free choice. He had to give man the opportunity to fail. Adam failed. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that Jesus was the second man, Adam. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews that he was tempted in every point, every single way that he could be tempted, he was tempted yet without sin. And we see in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was tempted to sin and not go to the cross. And yet he said, not my will, but your will be done. And nobody can say it was easy, because it was so hard on Jesus that he was under so much pressure that his blood vessels broke and blood came out of his sweat glands, and he was sweating blood. Blood was coming out. That's how much he was resisting the temptation to not go to the cross, and yet he overcame. The Bible says in James chapter 4, he said, submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee. And Jesus, Hebrews 12 verse 1, is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of God. Jesus overcame. He's our example, and we can also overcome. But God will fight for you to have the right to go to hell if you want to. It's a choice for every single person to make. And why? Because the stakes are so high. Those that are in Christ, Romans chapter 8 says you become an heir of God. What's an heir, Gary?
A person relation that is like a son or a daughter.
And a beneficiary.
A beneficiary, yep.
So, you know, an heir is someone who gets the inheritance of the person that they are the heir of when that person dies. So Jesus, when he died, we became the heirs. And then he was raised from the dead, and then he became the mediator of the new covenant. He became the one to dish out all the benefits. Bless the Lord. And so really, he's the only one who left a will, the testament, the New Testament or covenant. He left his will, last will and testament of Jesus Christ, then died, then was raised from the dead, and is now mediating the new covenant. He's the head of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so We become heirs of everything that's God's. But listen, he's only going to give it to those that are faithful, not those that are worthy. We're not worthy in ourselves, not those that have all kinds of skills and talents. God gives us those anyways. It's someone who is faithful. And the Bible says that the faithful will inherit the promise. And the promise is eternal life, but the promise is also everything in this universe. God, everything is, he owns everything, and God is giving it to us as his children. Praise God. So we must pass the test in order to receive the promise. And the temptation will come, and the temptation is real. And Satan is trying to pull us out of God's hands. And some people he is successful with. He does pull some people out. Paul talked about Hymenaeus and Alexander the coppersmith, who had made shipwreck of their faith. He also talked about, what's the other guy's name, who loved Demas. Demas was a son of Paul, but he loved this present world more than the kingdom of God. And he also made shipwreck of his faith. And so Satan is doing everything he can to try to keep you and I from receiving the inheritance. But if we will be faithful till the end, we'll receive all of the promises that God has given us. Thank you for that awesome email tonight, Bob. I call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Amy. Amy says, Pastor, please remind all your listeners to pray and give, if possible, to folks down in Florida that are suffering. If God is not the problem and he is the answer, why would he allow this to happen? If I can understand the hurricane due to Mother Nature, that is one thing, but what about God allowing folks to die in it? That is what separates us from believing in God. Okay, so it's kind of like the person I was talking to you about a little while ago who was saying, why would God allow the issues going on in this person's body? You have to understand that Satan, 2 Corinthians 4:4, is the God of this world. It's not God. Now it's going to be. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he is coming back to reign. If you remember in Acts chapter 1, they asked Jesus, they said, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? In other words, will the millennial reign of Christ begin now? And Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times or the hours that God has set in his own authority, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Why? So that we can preach the gospel. But also within this power is power to be healed, power to speak in other tongues, power to cast out demons. All of these things are power that God has given us, but it's not going to happen automatically. And I'm going to upset a few people right now, but it's not just going to happen through prayer. Prayer is important. Prayer is communion and fellowship with God, but it requires us to use our dominion. It requires us to use our authority. It requires us to speak God's word to the mountain and to the situations. Now, regarding the hurricane, understand that the earth is dying. The earth is dying. It's not in a recovery state. It's dying. Earthquakes, wars, rumors of wars, pestilences, all of these things Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 24. And he said, all these things are like labor pains on a woman who's giving birth to a child, and they increase and increase and increase until the child comes forth. The earth is also going through labor pains, and it's going to keep going through labor pains until Christ returns. And then there will be a one day or a 1,000-year reign and period of rest on the earth, where every one of God's enemies will be made his footstool by the body of Christ. But that day is not here yet. And so in the midst of this, God will protect his people. That's why it is so important to know your authority as a believer and what to do. You know, Psalm 91 verses 1-3 pretty much tells you very simply what to do. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So first of all, you know, you need to abide in him. You need to dwell in Christ. You need to be a doer of God's word. You need to walk by faith and not by sight. And then he said, this man or woman that dwells in the secret place will say of the Lord, you are my refuge, my protection from outside harm. You are my fortress, my protection from people, and you are my God. In you, I will trust. And then he says, 1,000 will fall by your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Many people, including my nephew, got out of harm's way before the storm came. You say, well, some people just can't afford to. Listen, you can afford to trust God. You can always afford to believe God. God will make a way. All things are possible to them that believe. My bishop, Bishop Butler, my pastor, he's told stories on multiple occasions about being led by the Spirit and how that will protect you from harm's way. He himself was supposed to be on a plane that was coming back from California that crashed and many people died. He was supposed to be on that plane, but the Lord told him that morning, don't go to Detroit, go to San Francisco, and he obeyed God. Listen, there were many people on the day of 9/11. You probably know somebody, Gary, that was supposed to be in one of the Twin Towers.
Yep, I do actually.
Did they live or die?
They were fortunate and blessed to live.
Do you know the story? Did something happen where they just couldn't get there that day?
Actually, yes. It was a car breakdown.
I'm telling you, God saved more people through all kinds of means. I know one person, the Lord told him, don't go to work today. And he didn't go to work today, and he watched it happen on television. Another person went to work, and the Lord said, get out of the building now. And then he told him, run. And he ran. And as he ran, the tower, one of the towers collapsed. Story after story after story. God's not killing anybody. He's not the killer. The thief. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. God is never your problem, ever, ever, never, ever, ever. Don't listen to the devil, and don't put those stupid words in your mouth that say, why did God allow this? Read the Bible. The answer is in the Bible. The Holy Spirit will reveal it to you from the Bible. Don't listen to unbelieving preachers. Don't listen to unbelieving Christians. There's a lot of unbelieving Christians. What's an unbelieving Christian? A Christian that doesn't speak the word of God. A Christian that says something contrary to the word of God. Again, God has never been your problem. He is your solution. Praise the Lord. Amen. I call you blessed tonight, Amy, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight. Glory to God from our friend Belinda. Belinda says, really enjoying the broadcast tonight, Pastor Ward. Such wisdom. Belinda, call you blessed, Belinda. Always great to hear from you. I call your dad blessed too, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Kelly. Kelly says, what is your website? It is spiritoffaithradio.com. Spiritoffaithradio.com. Call you blessed, Kelly, in Jesus' name. We got a lot of emails tonight, Gary.
Yes,
more than usual.
Yeah.
What a blessing. This is from Mike. Mike says, praise God tonight, Pastor. Loving the show. Thank you, Mike. Hey, remember, everybody, when you write me, let me know where you're writing from. I just really appreciate knowing, because it's a worldwide audience. So I love appreciating and recognizing where you're writing from. If you're a first-time listener tonight, shoot me a real quick email. Let me know. I'd love to hear from you. InStudio101@gmail.com. That's InStudio101@gmail.com. This past week, I think we had about 120 new listeners. And we get more every single week. It's such a blessing to be with you all every week. God bless you. Mike, call you blessed. Another email here tonight from Kyle. Kyle says, hi, Spirit of Faith. Love the show from Athens, Georgia. Thanks all. Praise God, Kyle. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Belinda. Belinda says, testimony time. I called you for prayer concerning my 92-year-old dad within minutes the day he left ICU. He had a change of heart and fear left him. So glad Canada took away vaccine mandate. They were so adamant about it. To God be the glory. My dad is still recovering. Tell Bishop Butler I talked with him on the Gold Line about him. And to God be the glory. God is still writing his story. Belinda, praise God. Amen. And someone's asking about donations. You can certainly donate by going to spiritoffaithradio.com, spiritoffaithradio.com, and there's a way to give on there. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Avanel. She says, good evening, Pastor Ward. Amen. I love you so much, Sister Avanel, and your whole family. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Blessings to Edison tonight. Another email here tonight from Donna. Donna says, hi, Pastor. Are there not a lot of contradictions in the Bible? If you compare the Old Testament to the New Testament, are there not a lot of inconsistencies? What is that about? We are confused enough reading the Word, but sometimes we read one thing in the Bible and then we read something different in the Bible on the same subject. What are we to believe? Well, first of all, Donna, there are absolutely no contradictions in the Word of God. There are no inconsistencies in the Word of God. And, you know, the statement that you make, I'm confused about, I'm confused enough about reading the Word, that's not a very good confession. And, you know, if you say, I am confused, well, guess what you're going to be? You're going to be confused. But if you say what the Word of God says, I have the mind of Christ, then you're going to operate with the mind of Christ. What I would encourage you to do, Donna, is send me some examples of these inconsistencies and let me teach you. That's why I'm here. I'm here to teach you. I'm here to help set the record straight. I'm here to help give understanding. The Bible says in Jeremiah 3:15, I've given you pastors after my own heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. And so there's some things you don't understand. That's why I'm here. That's why there are pastors that are available for you. So give me some of these inconsistencies, send them to me, and we will dissect them on the air, and we will help you understand. Whatever you think is inconsistent, whatever you think is contradictory, send them to me. The Bible says this, and then the Bible says this. They contradict each other. Send them to me, and we'll deal with them one by one. I call you blessed, Donna, in Jesus' name. Love you, Donna. I hope I didn't say anything to offend you, but sometimes I just feel like I need to be a little bit strong because God is not inconsistent, and God is not contradictory. Call you blessed. I love you so much, Donna. In Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Karen. Karen says, just saying hello from Fort Wayne, Indiana. We all love you here. May our Lord give you blessings and good health, Karen. I receive that, Karen, and my wife Cheryl receives it. I'm going to get her on the air real soon in the name of Jesus. You're going to hear from Cheryl and myself. It'll be a great blessing. Karen, you really encouraged me tonight. I call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Joyce. Joyce says, Pastor, are you on TV anymore? Thank you. No, I'm not. I was helping with a particular show out of Ohio, but they've now done it all in studio. I stay full time with my bishop. I'm so thankful that he allows me to still do the radio show, but I am very busy here at our headquarters church. And so, no, I'm not doing anything else at the moment. But thank you for asking. I call you blessed, Joyce, in Jesus' name. Two more emails of the night. Second to last one is from David. David says, Pastor, what is the most important chapter in the Old Testament? What is the most important chapter in the New Testament? Well, this would simply be opinion. But if I have to give my opinion, it's just my opinion. Gary, say it's only Pastor Ward's opinion.
It is only Pastor Ward's opinion.
I would say Old Testament, Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 is all about the Messiah. And then I would say the New Testament, Romans chapter 8, which is all about walking in the Spirit. Praise God. That's just my opinion. Praise the Lord. Amen. Call you blessed, David. And our last email of the evening is from Grace. Grace says, hi, Pastor Ward. Are the newer edition Bibles trustworthy to learn from? They make scripture to understand, but are they accurate? If so, which edition would you recommend? Well, you got to be really careful. I always stick with the King James Version as my home base. So I got King James, and then you can get another one to help. Another good one is the Amplified Bible, especially the Classic, the Amplified Classic. And then I like the New Living Translation for the New Testament, the NLT, or the New Living Translation. But stick with the King James, get yourself a concordance, and look up the words from the Greek and the Hebrew. Old Testament is Hebrew, New Testament is Greek. Wonderful question, which I greatly appreciate tonight, and I call you blessed, Grace, in Jesus' name. What a privilege it's been for Gary and I to be with you tonight. Until next week, I want to remind you to go to our website, spiritoffaithradio.com. If you want to donate, you can go to spiritoffaithradio.com to help with the weekly payments for the radio show. But I want to remind you that God is exalted. The devil is defeated. Jesus is Lord. And keep fighting the good fight of faith.
Listening to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101.